Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Come on, guys. We beat Cobra Kai before. We can do it again.
One more time. Let's send our captains into the finals.
One last time. Win or lose, this is the last time that we'll ever fight together as a team.
Damn, I guess I never thought about it like that. After everything we've been through, this is it.
So, how do we want to go out?
Eli?
Dude. I'm really sorry.
I didn't mean to hurt you. I know you didn't. I'm just scared of losing my best friend. I'm gonna miss you so much, man.
Yeah. You're always gonna be my brother.
Okay, that's enough. There's no crying in karate.
Come in here, boys.
You guys are always gonna be my brothers too. We're family. All of us. Who are we?
Yagi-Do.
Who are we?
Yagi-Do.
Who are we?
Yagi-Do.
I said, who are we?
Yagi-Do.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is Cobra Kai Cast.
This week, we're covering Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 9, Blood In, Blood Out.
Ooh.
What the hell does that mean? You work hard and you kill.
Yeah. It wasn't a whole lot of blood, honestly.
It sounds... Yeah, I have no idea. Blood, sweat, and tears kind of thing. That's what I was thinking, but I don't know. Okay, here is the plot summary. It's kind of long, but I'm going to get through it. 3 months prior to the current story, Silver's freed of all his charges and meets Wolf, Sensei Wolf, in Thailand, promising to pay his debts in exchange for buying the Iron Dragon's dojo and humiliating Miyagi-Do at the Sekai Taikai. Johnny returns to Barcelona with Miguel and Kenny, who's replacing Devin. Devin apologizes to Kenny and they make amends. The other team members don't trust Kenny, thinking he's secretly working with Silver, so they refuse to tag him in the next event, causing them to lose. Silver offers Kenny a spot in his dojo, but he refuses and shows him a middle finger after he helps Miyagi-Do win the next event when Robbie tags him in. The team celebrates. Meanwhile, in order to mess with Silver, Johnny and Chosen decide to provoke Kreese by stealing his Yunjangdo from his locker, that knife, and replacing it with a spa ticket, causing Kreese to punch Silver. Kim Dae-yoon accuses Cho-Zen of stealing the Yoon-Jang-do. I know I'm saying that wrong. And warns him to give it back to prevent Kreese from becoming even more erratic. Because if he doesn't have his knife, he goes nuts. Miyagi-Do faces Cobra Kai in the second elimination round, and Tori confronts Robbie about his hookup with Zara. Robbie learns Kwon messed with him, fooling him into thinking Tori had left him for Kwon. In the decisive point, Robbie defeats Kwon, advancing Miyagi-Do to the Tournament of Champions and eliminating Cobra Kai from the tournament. Silver hands Daniel an envelope containing records of Mr. Miyagi's participation in the Sekai Taikai, showing that he killed his opponent during a match. After Kreese finds his Yoon-Jang-do back in the locker, he tells Johnny that it's not over until he says so.
No, he doesn't. He says it to the audience.
Yeah, he did say it to Johnny, and then he said it again to the audience.
Oh, Kreese. What a shitty guy.
Never learn.
I mean, I was thinking, you know, we had this big buildup with Kreese at the beginning of the season, showing him back in Korea, whipping the Cobra Kai into shape, trying to recruit Tori, well, successfully recruiting her. And as far as we knew, Terry Silver was in jail. So it seemed like Kreese was going to be the big bad of the season. And then he kind of fizzled out, like Cobra Kai just lost. But he says it's not over. And he's like fingering his knife at the end there. And I'm just probably making this all up in my head, but at least a couple listeners have been saying, I can't wait till you guys watch the finale. I want to know what you guys think. Meaning episode 10, I presume. Not the finale, but the part two finale. And I'm afraid that means that Kreese is going to stab Johnny with that knife.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, I kind of figure he's out of the tournament, but he ain't out of the picture. I mean,
you can't count him out.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do something crazy.
Isn't that what he did in that vision when he went to that cave and found that knife? Did he? And he had this like whole hallucination of him fighting Johnny because that was like how he had overcome his weakness. Isn't that what he did?
Did he stab Johnny in the vision?
Well, that's what I'm asking. I can't remember. I remember him fighting
that,
him. But.
Yeah, that was his whole thing. That to kill the final weakness in himself, he had to do in Johnny. And so I think that's still part of the story. I can't remember if he actually stabbed him in the cave, but
yeah, I can't remember. I just remember him like him being there fighting him or just whatever.
The fact that that knife is still a part of the story makes me feel like it's like Chekhov's gun, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and he's really like tied a real part of himself to that. Like he was just really like he really allowed himself to be shaken up. Usually, well, maybe not usually, but it doesn't seem much like Kreese to like be so shaken up over something like that.
He loves that knife.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Too
it's really
much.
Nice. I mean, yeah, it's kind of silly, but to try to make it make sense, I guess it's the symbol of how he passed this test with his master, and that's what allowed him to be there at the tournament. So it takes on a lot of significance, but still, it's kind of dumb that he would be all thrown off balance by it.
Wow. See, my first thought was maybe he's going to stab Terry Silver, but. Johnny would be so much better. Oh my gosh.
And Johnny was just trying to kind of rubbing it in his face at the end there. You know, how does it feel? You come away with nothing. I shouldn't say it like that. I thought it was pretty cool, but yeah. All right. What do you guys think about this one?
Fight. That was pretty awesome. Yeah. I mean, like almost all my notes are about the fights. So it was pretty cool. I can't wait to start talking about it. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. It was awesome. I really liked it. I think emotionally and then also entertainment wise with the fighting was probably the best episode so far. This in this group of five episodes.
Rima.
Well, I would agree. The fighting alone had me, you know, you know, we're always going to have kind of some of that teenage drama stuff and some of the annoying things, you know, with a couple of characters. But the fighting did it all for me. And I thought it was some of the best darn choreography, you know, not just the season, but maybe nearly the series. I just thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, so, they're
kicking
it up at the end here, kicking it up a couple notches. Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was, I mean, for one thing, it was so funny how this season started out with that episode called Peacetime in the Valley and everything was just nice for everyone. Yeah. And then since then, they've just been turning the screws, making everyone hate each other with all this tension. And this episode, they finally got their act together and kind of buried the hatchet. A lot of them, they resolved a lot of that tension.
Yeah.
And it was such a relief. And they mixed that with the fighting, which makes always the tournaments are more interesting when there's personal stakes involved and issues and stuff, because that's what Karate Kid is. It's the tournament was about the bullying with Johnny and everything. But anyway, the way that all happened was so satisfying. I thought, and we got some wins finally. So it felt like it took too long to get here, but really it just made it feel like I thought it would that much better. It was like, finally, fucking some wins.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is what we've been waiting for.
Yeah. And heartening moments and everything. I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Rich, since you can't wait.
Very satisfying. So out of all the stuff that happened during the multiple fights, right, there's two things that really stuck out for me. One was loved that the Binary Brothers and Kenny finally got, you know, the big hugs and the kisses and the makeups. I swear to God, I teared up a little bit in the locker room when Kenny, and I didn't think I would. I was just like, oh, great, here we go, you know, and then... But wait, like
which
you said,
part with Kenny and Devin or no, at the end when they,
yeah,
all
well, you know, when Kenny and Dimitri finally made up and became friends again, I was just afraid to, you know, lose you as my best friend. Hey, don't worry. You know, we'll
no, that's
be brothers.
Hawk and Dimitri.
I'm sorry. Hawk and Dimitri. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then they went out and fought. And then on the mat, you know, they started working together with, they tagged Kenny in too, to keep Yoon in the ring. And kind of tire him out. And that part there, I thought was really cool. I like that.
Yeah. Agree.
And then, and like you said, it was an unexpected emotional response on my part.
Yeah. Cause the only time I ever remember hearing you say you teared up is when, Mr. Spock died in Star Trek 2.
That's true. That is true. And I was like 13. So. Got a little lump in the throat. But I thought that was great. I don't know why. I think it was just a long time coming. And,
yeah.
And then it also had that, you know, expectation to go with it. It was like, okay, now let's kick some ass. Right?
Yeah. I mean, that was right when Robbie, Miguel did something that he should have done a long time ago, which is, first off, ask Robbie, what's going on with you?
Yeah.
You don't seem to be doing well, because Robbie fucked up the first tournament. He really lost it. He lost 2 of the 3 points. Yeah. And Miguel's like, tell me what's up, man. Because now Miguel has his head on straight after everything that happened with his mom and Johnny talking to him. And so he's being nice again. And that's when Robbie told him, oh, I'm all screwed up over Tori and she cheated and so did I. And so he's like, dude, you're a leader, you know, get over it. We want to follow you. Just lead us and we'll follow, and all that stuff that he said. And it was just beautiful. And Robbie really took it to heart. You could tell it made a huge difference. Right. And that kid, Tanner, I don't know his name, but he did a good job of just suddenly embodying that confidence and focus, you know, really could feel it. And so then, I forgot why I was, in the locker room when he's sort of inspired to now become this leader, what he said right before Dimitri and Hawk made up was, how do we want to go out?
Right.
And that just got them both thinking, we want to go out as friends, I think, you know, and so then they just sort of crumbled. I'm sorry, man. I just didn't want to lose you as a friend. Well, you're always going to be my brother. And then Miguel comes over. You guys are both going to be my brothers too. I mean, I'm getting kind of choked up thinking about it. It's just beautiful. And then when Sam said, this is the last time we're all going to fight as a team, I thought, yeah, that's great that she pointed that out for the story, because they're going off to college and everything.
Yeah.
But it's for us too, I think. Just so we know, look, I know, guys, there's 5 more episodes left, but this is the last time you're going to see these characters fight as a team. So it's a big deal. And it kind of raises the importance of the match that we're about to see, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good point.
Heightens those emotions.
Yeah. It kind of raises the question too. Like, what are they going to do now? It's going to be individual.
I know.
Fighting?
It makes me wonder, because you can tell, I mean, the next episode is going to be the captains
Yeah, I think it's captains, right?
Which is Axel and Zara and Sam and Robbie. So I guess Tori and Robbie are not going to be on the mat together at the end like they wanted. But and then there's probably some other captains in other dojos that are left, maybe. But what really has me curious is what about after that, right? Because I feel like the Sika Taikai will be over after the next episode.
Yeah.
And what are we going to get for the next five? It'll probably have something to do with Miyagi killing someone, or I don't know. I'm really intrigued, though. I think that means something bad's going to happen, because that's how the show works, right? It can't be happy for too long.
As usual.
No. It's gonna come down on you eventually.
Mm-hmm. Until the very last episode.
Yeah.
And
what else, Rima? What are you thinking
about? Getting me all emotional thinking about it, because well, I'll start with Kenny. I guess it was too much to hope that it would be drama free with Kenny.
I know.
Flying over and joining the team, like, instead of like, oh, this is great, you know, it's like, oh no, gotta have some drama. And, you know, Dimitri came through later in the episode, but at this point he was still annoying the hell out of me, just like, what?
Don't tag him in.
I know. I was just so over the top thinking that he was going to betray him. And then when Hawk sees him, you know, well, I saw him talking with Silver, and just kind of just keeps egging it on. And I'll admit, for just like a few seconds, I was kind of worried that Silver might get through to Kenny a little bit and manipulate. Yeah. I mean, he's so good at manipulating him and Kreese both. They're really good at finding that thing and finding that that one thing, it just kind of turning and twisting it and amping it up. And I mean, he, you know, he really got, I thought he was really getting to him, because I'm like, yeah, they're totally treating him like shit, you know, look at how they're treating him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course he's, you know, kind of pissed off about it. And so you can't blame him for his feelings. And I thought,
when he looked over
man.
And saw, because he goes, we're the team that wins or whatever. And Kenny looks over and sees the Iron Dragons at the top of the chart. And I don't think Miyagi-Do was even in the top five.
Yeah.
So he makes you think he might be like, maybe he's got a point there.
Yeah. I was scared there for a minute. But man, they, you know, Robbie was like, you know, when after that speech with Miguel, which got to give a shout out to my boy Miguel. He's the best hype person ever. You know, I was really proud of him for swallowing his pride and reaching out to Robbie and having that talk with him. But after Robbie was starting to show himself to be the leader that we know he can be, you know, tags him in, and Kenny gets to show what he can do and, you know, fight for Miyagi-Do and prove everyone wrong. And then everyone, you know, was cheering for him. What a great part. And flipping off Silver, classic. You know, like that. And it was funny because Silver seemed to kind of appreciate it too. He was kind of laughing, like,
yeah, I think
you know,
he got a kick out of it.
Yeah, that was kind of funny too.
Fun choice for the actor to make, not seem upset. Yeah. Just like, all right, you got me.
Yep. I like that he kind of took it on the chin there, you know, in that moment. But I was proud of Kenny. You know, I'm not a huge Kenny fan. He was never one of my favorite characters. I mean, he's, I think, coming around, if he's really embracing the rest of the team and Miyagi-Do, and, you know, he believes in them and wants to fight for them and with them. So, I mean, I do like that, but I was really proud that he made that choice. It's solidified some of my faith in him that he can kind of turn it around.
And then he was badass. He got like 2 points in a row.
Yeah.
So
he turned it on.
The last one was an uppercut. That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reminded me of Street Fighter.
Nice hit.
Yeah. Oh, new kid.
It's like a Mortal Kombat. One of my favorite moves.
At least he didn't tear his spine out afterwards. Kenny and Miguel they have one thing in common. I feel like that when they turn on the charm, they are so charming, especially Kenny, that smile he's got that he'll flash every once in a while. Like when he's making up with Devin, you don't see it a lot because the character's troubled, but when you do, it's like, whoa. And also when they're being jerks, it's really off-putting. And I think Kenny has both of those to a greater intensity than Miguel. When he's being charming, it's like, whoa, it feels like the light bulb just went up three times brighter. And then he's being an asshole. It's like, oh my God, this kid's a fucking psycho.
Good acting. I wonder if they're like that in real life.
Yeah.
I felt that way with Dimitri too, Rima, but I kind of understood like why he was thinking that. I mean, when Devin fesses up to poisoning Kenny, he doesn't even react anywhere near the rage he had when he thought Anthony was responsible. In fact, he was just smiling and happy and talking to her, and he even flattered her, you know, or he even said he was flattered. Devin thought that he was such a threat that she would resort to poisoning him. So watching that, I was kind of like, hey, what's going on here?
Maybe. I mean, they wanted us to wonder whether Kenny would be a traitor, but I thought, you know, let's look at both sides. And on the side of him being okay is that Devin called him on the phone and apologized. So he must have known. And then he ends up out at the tournament because she did that. And then she's apologizing first thing when he sees her again. So I still thought, yeah, it's a bit much for him to just be like, hey, it's no problem. Let's be best buds. But still, I thought I could see him just realizing, okay, she clearly feels bad about it. And that's not like her to do it, you know, do something like that.
Made me a little suspicious.
Yeah. Well, and he had 14 hours to think about it while they were, you know, on the plane and kind of maybe work through it. I mean, we didn't get to see any conversations between him, Johnny, and Miguel on the way back. So maybe they had a conversation about it. Maybe, you know, whatever. It can give you some time to cool off. But I mean, I can see it. It's, you know, I can kind of understand where Dimitri was coming from a little. I just think he was being a little dramatic about it, which, again, the show.
Yeah. And just like when you're on a karate team at a tournament and one of your teammates is saying, or no, one person saying, hey, tag me in. And then you got this guy next to you, don't tag him in. It's like, what the fuck is going on with that team?
Yeah.
That seems like they don't really have their act together.
Clearly some discourse and easy to be taken advantage of when you see the team splintering like that.
Yeah.
You know, it was, oh, that was so frustrating. Like everybody's getting distracted. You know, everybody's looking over at that person and that person's looking at that person. That person's yelling at that person. Don't tag him in. And I was like, oh my gosh, can we please get our shit together?
Get it together, people. And you're saying Silver, you know, he can manipulate people. And so that made you wonder if he'd be successful with Kenny. And that did remind me of when we first met him in Karate Kid 3, he got Daniel to join Cobra Kai, you know, so they're really taking, they're still like, I thought there would be more to mine there with Terry Silver, and they are mining other parts of his character just from that movie. Still, there's still more left to mine from.
I resolved it by thinking that it just kind of, the Kenny's reaction to Devin, I think, really shows that he just hates Anthony. Also,
that's true. Yeah,
you know, it doesn't hate Devin as much, but I mean, he became a shitty pant meme.
Yeah, I mean, I if I was Kenny, I don't think I'd be so friendly so quickly, but I might still forgive her, and I just keep an eye on her. Like, you need to earn my trust now, you know.
Yeah,
something like
that. Yeah, it was pretty quick to like be super chill. Like, super, you know, friendly. What? Like, let's, you know, we're, for the tournament's sake or something like that, we're cool, but we're going to have a conversation like after or something. I don't know. It was kind of fast. I admit that.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Rich, do you think Miguel ever remind you of Dan Wattman? I might have said that on the podcast before.
Yeah, a little bit in some areas.
It does with me a little bit, his vibe or something.
Yeah, not what he says a lot, but kind of how
he behaves. How he is, yeah.
Yeah.
Dan, for people who don't remember, has been on the podcast a couple of times, and I think he's going to come on for an episode in the final five, too, if he can stop himself from binging the whole thing when it comes out.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about some heartening moments because that is one of the things I loved about this episode, and there were a few people getting right with each other and then focusing on winning finally. I liked when Johnny first came back and goes, "I'm back, everybody," and then he can see that they're all upset because Terry Silver's back, and he goes, "Look, screw Silver. I came back, left Carmen to win. Let's finish what we started." And Chosen's like, "Yush." So that was a nice, powerful moment. Johnny's like, "Yeah, get over it, guys. Let's go." Then right after that, Johnny and Daniel talk to each other. Daniel, "Hey, Johnny, I just want to tell you how relieved I am that Carmen and the baby are okay. And I really appreciate that voicemail you left me." Johnny's like, "Don't worry, LaRusso. It's all piss under the bridge. We good? We're good." That was just, all right, let's go witness.
For now. Yeah. You got to add at the end of everything he says.
Right.
For now.
Still got six more episodes.
You think they'll still have conflict before it's all over? Probably, huh?
They can't. Oh, I mean, they can, but they got to bring it back around on the very last episode. They got to end on a happy note, right?
I don't know. When I already talked about Miguel, patching things up with Robbie. That was great. But yeah, in the locker, Sam said, "Win or lose, this is the last time we'll fight together as a team." And then Miguel said, "After everything we've been through together, this is it," which was cool. It feels like, I mean, I felt sincerity from the actors because they're all knowing that the series is coming to a close. And I think that was bleeding through into their performances,
yeah,
the way they're hugging each other and stuff.
Totally.
You know, and Devin's getting all emotional. "Stop it. There's no crying in karate," which I could have sworn that was something Johnny said to them, but I looked it up and I couldn't find it anywhere.
Sounds like something he would say.
Yeah. And then when Miguel said, "We're all a family, all of us." And then Robbie's like, "Who are we? Miyagi-Do. Who are we? Miyagi-Do." Which reminded me of getting all hyped up before band competitions back in high school.
Yeah.
And then Daniel and Johnny come up right as they're doing that. And I felt proud for Daniel, but you could tell he was so proud. Like, "Look what I did here, man. I'm not even doing anything. And these people are so happy to be in Miyagi-Do and they're just propping each other up. And there's all these good vibes." And I just thought the show handled that really well, where they're like, "You know, we had this inspirational speech, but it looks like you guys took care of it yourselves." And that's a good point. Like, the kids didn't even need the adults, which I think, I think all three of us tend to more care about the adult storyline than the kids, maybe because we're a little older. But in this case, I really liked that the kids did work it out themselves in the locker room there without the adults. That was cool.
Yeah, it really strengthens that resolution that, the problem's over. Let's go kick some ass.
Yeah. Focus. And then Johnny's, "All right, enough with this kumbaya crap. Let's get out there and kick some Cobra Kai ass."
Kumbaya.
So good. That's what you want in a Karate Kid show, is to have these moments where you're just like, yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
It makes you yell at the TV. right? You guys do that too, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm just going,
"Yeah, I'm Miyagi-Do."
Yeah. So another thing about the fighting was Robbie's fight. Oh my God. Did you guys catch some of the moves that were going on in that fight? Jeez. Both of those actors must have worked hours on that choreography. I mean, they were just all over the place and it really shows off their talent, you know? And, mm-hmm. And then, in the script, Robbie's making it hurt, makes it hurt on.
Yeah. That's what Devin, "What's he doing?" And Johnny's all, "He's making it hurt."
Yeah. On Quan, that was pretty cool.
So it seemed like he was manhandling him.
Yeah.
And not taking the hit when he could have made a point, right?
Yeah.
And it made me think of Oberyn Martell in Game of Thrones, where I'm like, fuck, don't blow it, dude. Just get your point, damn it, you know?
Yeah. Finish it.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
It was totally awesome. And then, you know, it's such a high entertaining and a high energy fight. And it really scratched that itch to see Robbie finally get his shit together and kick some butt. And then there was a scene where Quan goes insane with these jumps and twists. And he's like jumping and twisting, and Robbie's stepping back, and he actually steps back into Tori, and she has to kind of push him to the side. And I was just like, holy crap. I had to rewind that like three times and watch what he was doing. He was off the mat, like 6 feet up in the air, whoever that, if it was the actor that was doing that or the stunt guy, but that was amazing.
And it was great because you could tell it was awesome, but also that he was kind of out of control and thrown off balance.
Yeah.
You know, Robbie was more centered in himself, and Quan was just like, ah, God damn you.
You know? Goes the Tasmanian devil, huh?
Yeah.
And I think that was really the actor, because he's trained. I don't know like what his level is, but he is actually highly trained and skilled, kind of like the actress that plays Zara, you know, legitimate martial artist. So yeah, I think it was probably really him doing those cool moves.
Hope to see more of him too.
It's outstanding.
After this.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going to happen to the Cobra Kai team? I mean, they're out. They're just going to go home?
I meant the actor, but I don't know. That's what you do when you lose a tournament, right?
Well, it's not over, according to Kreese. So.
They're all going to stab Miyagi-Do.
Yeah. I don't know,
but I agree, it was a great fight, though. It was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, so the last fight, because there were three fights, the first fight, Miyagi-Do still hadn't quite got their shit together. And then the second fight, at least Miguel and Robbie had made up. So when Dimitri was still screaming not to pick Kenny, Robbie decided, no, I'm going to pick Kenny. And then Kenny got those 2 points. And then they had the whole locker room scene before the Cobra Kai fight. So they were all on the same page in the Cobra Kai fight. And, I forgot where I was going to go with that. But, they all had, there were some real conflicts that added more interest in the Cobra Kai fight, Robbie and Tori. And they're kind of working out their teen drama during the tournament. I kind of like that, where Tori's like,
I liked about it.
You got played for a fool. And then when Robbie realized it, and he kind of gets pissed off and looks over at Quan, and that's what really activated him.
It was on,
That stare.
Switch.
It was a death stare.
And Quan was through right in that moment. It's like, you're done, buddy.
I thought it was a crack up. Kim says to Tori, you know, do you think you're the only girl that's been hurt by a boy? We can let them get away with it, or we can make them pay. And then Tori turns around a few scenes later and tells Robbie, there's no me and Quan, you idiot. Your dumbass got played. I was like, that's kind of like a little trickle down economics there, you know, for anger focus or something, you know.
And it's just also shows that the senseis had some conflict too, which added to it, Kim Dae-yoon and Chosen. And I don't think mention it last week, but when Chosen casually said that they met by mistake, she looked over at him, mistake. So she was pissed. And
she has not let that go.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
But and that's, and to me, that means she likes him and she's pissed that he just threw that away after they slept together so quickly. And there's a moment in this episode when they're standing together, and I think it's right after she said, I know that you guys took Teresa's knife, you should give it back or whatever. And then you hear the announcer say, Miyagi-Do will fight Cobra Kai next. And she looks at Chosen and says, you better hurry, your time is almost up, or you don't have much time. And to me, I took that to mean, on the surface, you need to go to your next tournament, but also, if you're going to make things right with me, you don't have much time, you better hurry up. That's what I thought she was kind of saying, because I still think they're going to end up together.
Yeah, because I missed all that, I guess. I was confused. Like, why was she so pissed at him? What the hell?
Oh, yeah. I remember that look on. Oh, no. That's from my perspective, that look that she gave him when he's like, oh, it was just a mistake. Like you were saying, Jason, that look on. She was like, mistake. And I was like, uh-oh. that stung. And she's not going to let that go, you know, and I see both sides. I know that at the time Chosen was just like trying to, because she's like, nobody can know about this.
Yeah.
This has to stay between us. And so he was kind of following what she said by saying, you know, how are you two together? Why are you two together? So he's just trying to cover.
By coincidence.
Yeah. Whatever. So he was trying to cover, but she took it personally, not as like a, oh, he's trying to just cover and not take it too deep or whatever. But she did. And I think she might have caught some feelings just a little bit.
Yeah.
There. And,
he's clueless, I guess.
As I won't say anything, but
I mean, I guess either that or he doesn't like her, you know, as much as she likes him. But that wouldn't be a very fun story.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't.
Well, he's in it now. I mean,
yeah, hell, he stepped in it.
Yeah, hell hath no fury. ...
All right, Rima, what do you got for the next one?
Well, I mean, we've talked about Robbie, so I wanted to just, you know, kind of talk about how I was really excited to finally, I think we were all at this point ready to, you know, finally see him get his head in the game. So to see, like you were saying, Rich, you know, after him and Tori, they're having that whole conversation kind of off to the side there, and then to see him turn and it's like, oh, he's locked in. Like,
yeah,
he is out for Quan. It was super cool. You know, I've not always been the biggest Robbie fan, but I've always given him credit for his skill. And he really got to demonstrate that this episode. He really came through fantastically and just ran right over Quan. And I really, I was worried for him though, for a moment when there at the end, when it was Tori that jumped in first and he looked a little shaken again. I was like, oh man, I was like, are you kidding me? Here
was
we go
when
again.
She said, I know you slept with Zara basically. And he's like, oh fuck.
Yeah. Well, I was like, oops, you saw that, you know about that. Yeah. Not good. Got a lot of messiness going on here. People, you know, sleeping with each other and really just kind of rocking the boat, shaking everyone off their balance for sure. So I was really afraid he was going to be off balance again. And I thought, oh, come on. But he really brought it through and became a leader for the team. He really showed what he can do, proved to himself, proved to the team, and really helped, you know, carry them through. And you could really see that change in everyone. And I know that, like, that whole conversation in the locker room, you know, where everyone had their moment, the talk with Miguel, the realizing he'd been played by Quan really brought all this together. And it was really great to see not just Robbie, but the whole team really kind of come together. I mean, Hawk, finally, like, I've been so disappointed in Hawk this season. Like, where's he at, man? Like, he was always one of the, you know, biggest badass fighters too, on par nearly with, you know, Miguel and Robbie. And he's just been kind of just like diminished a little as far as his fighting skills, but he really came in. And then even Dimitri was like getting some points. So, you know, getting to see Robbie though in that fight, it was awesome. The skills, the choreography, he didn't let Quan get in on him at all. Like, he really, you could tell he was focused, and it was so great to finally see that.
Yeah.
So that was good. I loved that whole fight, and it was really great to kind of see the switch of where Robbie's focused, but Quan, who always seemed to be so centered and confident in his abilities, really, he was the one that then ended up off balance. And super cool. That last move where they're both like up in the air and like coming at each other, and you're just like, oh crap, who's gonna get that last point? Because it was like, just like, next point wins,
we
was what they said. I mean, yes, but it was still like, it was still exciting and thrilling. Like, oh, please don't let all of this be for nothing. And then he ended up getting it, which was really, got him like right in the chest and the heart. I thought maybe he really hurt him. I was like, I hope he gets up, because
I thought it was going to go back to, you know, do the foreshadowing from the very first scene where Sensei Wolf killed that guy, or I'm assuming he killed that guy with a chest kick.
Yeah.
Before he met Terry. And I was like, oh no, is that what Robbie's going to do to him? No. Yeah, that was great. Robbie made me laugh a little bit too. I think it was the first fight where I think Jason, you were mentioning it, where Dimitri and Hawk were like, no, don't tag Kenny. Don't talk to him. Or Dimitri was telling Kenny, Hawk, don't tag Kenny. Don't tag Kenny. And he kind of panicked a little bit. And so he just ran over and tagged Robbie really quick. And Robbie was like, what the hell?
What are you doing?
he goes out there and gets his butt kicked. But I was like, how are you not ready when you're in a tag team competition, dude?
I felt like the tag team thing was okay. Like, it seems kind of silly. It's like professional wrestling, you know, there's no stopping. And like, when do you... You should have some strategy, which clearly Miyagi-Do didn't. And can the guy smack you when you're turning around to tag your opponent? And just having, how do you decide when to tag out? I guess when you're tired. I don't know. The whole thing felt a little silly to me. And then the way that they kept trying to set up situations that would mirror or reflect the conflicts that were happening felt a little contrived sometimes. Like that one you just mentioned, like... Robbie's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're in a fucking tournament. You just got tagged in. You should be ready to fight. Right, what's the problem?
Everybody should be ready.
Just because he didn't tag who he was supposed to in the story doesn't mean that you're not ready to fight. So that's why it felt a little contrived.
It was a little weird.
Stop drooling and get your head in it. But I liked it, though. I liked the tag team concept. I mean, they stole a lot from you know, like WWE and the wrestling and stuff like that, which I thought was pretty good.
I read there are tag team martial arts tournaments, but I
mean,
I didn't
it made
look
for
at
quick action.
How the rules go.
You got to see a lot of different fighters within a short amount of time, you know?
Yeah. And then the way that they can prevent a teammate from tagging, and they did the whole Binary Bros thing.
Yeah.
Like, on one hand, I thought, oh, that's cool. They're doing this double Binary Bros thing working together. But on the other hand, I'm like, this is really silly.
Well, whatever. Absolutely. I mean, that kind of goes without saying. This entire show, there's some pretty silly.
Definitely some silliness.
That is a good point.
Underlying. Yeah. That's kind of the underlying MO with this show.
Yeah. And I shouldn't complain.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, you just got to kind of, or at least
roll
that's what
punches.
I do. Just kind of like, oh, okay, this is our show. This is what happens. But it was kind of cool, though, when they were trying to keep people in the fight to try to wear them out by kicking their hands to keep them from tagging. I was like, hell yeah, take them out, wear them out.
Good strategy.
I like the sort of tag team mechanic moments less than just two people fighting, like Quan and Robbie, you know, or whatever. I just like the battles better. Or even now, I saw Quan got a point in on Sam, kicked her right in the stomach.
Yep.
Which that was kind of, it's weird to say, but cool to see, because Quan's fucking talented and Sam hardly ever gets a point on her. So it's good to see someone get a point on her. But it made me think too that when they first, you know, were training for the Sakai Takai and they were told that they had to have a female and a male captain, I thought, oh, there's probably two tracks, you know, one for women fighters and one for men. And like, I think that's how the All Valley was, right? The girls and the boys didn't fight each other, but now the girls and the boys are all fighting each other, which I don't think would happen in any tournament, would it? But anyway, it's good for the story because there's a lot of interpersonal dynamics between the girls and the boys in this.
Yeah. I like the equity. I thought it was cool. And then not much came from Tori fighting Sam either.
Yeah,
that was kind of quick and easy, huh?
They just fought for a bit and then nobody got a point, right?
I didn't think she tagged Quan and then Quan got that point.
And Tori, I think, lost all 3 points in Cobra Kai's second fight.
Oh, did she?
Because
she was
upset about Robbie, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I don't think we saw anyone else from Cobra Kai fight either, except the 3 main people.
Yeah, I don't even know who else is in Cobra Kai, honestly, right now. They're kind of always in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Tori, she really kind of got the shit end of the stick here, I feel like. Because she ends up with the losers, Cobra Kai, and she gets blamed for cheating even though she didn't, and her boyfriend cheats on her. She just said, I want to pause, not permanent, but Robbie took that wrong for some dumb reason. And now she's like, and Sam's like, I wish you could be celebrating with us. But anyway, I feel bad for her because through the whole series, she's kind of gotten the shit end of the stick. And I hope that she has a good ending. And I think she probably will.
Yeah, me too. I kept thinking, you know, it's like, wow, she made a bad decision again. But also, I mean, she lost her mom, you know.
Yeah.
That's another undertone of everything that's happened to her. So I was like, damn, poor girl. Can't catch a break.
All right. I think, can I go? I think it's my turn, right? I could talk about how Terry Silver got there or how they were fucking around with Kreese. Which one of those seems more interesting?
Fucking around with Kreese.
Okay. So first off, at the hot tub, Silver's there and they're like going to get him out of the hot tub or something. And then he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I have to go. It's time for my forehand massage.
Yeah. That part made me laugh out. I was like, what the hell? Is that all it takes? Funny. Kreese started a countdown. And everyone else was like, what? Well, what? We're going to get him? Huh?
What's going on?
And then Silver says, you look a little tense, John. You should book yourself in here. My treat, just like the old days. Which, do you remember why he said that?
No.
It's because in Karate Kid 3, Kreese is all down and out because he beat up his students in the parking lot at the end of the tournament, and now they all left and he has no dojo. Oh. And so Terry Silver swoops in and says, I'll take care of it. And he sends Kreese off to Tahiti for recuperation. So I think there's a scene where Kreese is actually getting a massage and Kreese says, give Mimona and her girlfriend a squeeze for me. So, he paid for massages for, Kreese before. And when in this moment, when he says that, Kreese like goes for his knife, like he's going to stab Silver.
Yeah. Is he going to stab him in the back?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then, so that all ties in the knife, the massages and everything, the spa. And then, so then later after Miyagi-Do first match where they totally fail and Daniel says something about, you know, we haven't even fought Silver's team yet and he's still getting under our skin. Johnny suggests screwing with Silver right back. Chosen says maybe use other enemy to do screwing. And so then Kreese finds his knife case empty with a gift certificate to the spa, which I guess Chosen took it and put that in there to frame Silver, which I kind of like Miyagi-Do using Kreese and Silver's mind fuck methods against them a little bit, you know, wouldn't want to do it too much, but then Kreese goes and attacks Silver and they almost get suspended and Kim Dae-yoon's all fed up. She reminded me of Amanda, like, when did I become a babysitter for you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was funny.
And then Johnny and Daniel and Chosen, the camera goes over to them and they're all looking on. Like, look at that. It's working.
We're so smart.
And Johnny said, I'm surprised you went along with the plan. What would Miyagi think? And Daniel says, part of defense is redirecting your opponent's momentum. Chosen says, also dog cage, change a man. But Daniel going along with it kind of reminded me of when he like poured water on Johnny in the shower in Karate Kid at the Halloween dance. Like he has it in him to play a little dirty sometimes. And that's consistent with how he's been before.
When all else fails.
Play dirty. So when Cobra Kai loses the match and Johnny goes over to Kreese and says, all the shit you pulled to get here, nothing to show for it. How's it feel? This isn't over. The scoreboard says otherwise. Couldn't happen to a shittier guy. See you in another life, Kreese. And so then when Kreese goes back to his locker and plays with his knife and says, this isn't over until I say it's over. Then that's when I started thinking he's going to stab Johnny.
Oh, God. Stop saying that.
Sorry. I won't say it anymore.
It's giving me chills. I was like, oh, no.
But something's got to happen to propel the story for the next five episodes after the match, I feel like.
We'll find out when we're wrapped up
done
here.
With this, yeah.
Silver seems to have caught on too, huh? Because then at the end, he was like, hey, good move with the knife thing to Daniel just before he hands him the envelope. Yeah, I thought, well, yeah, I guess that would make sense.
Kinda but like, I don't, really did it do one. Much. It made Silver attack, I mean, Kreese attack Silver and then get threatened with being thrown out. But then what? I guess Kreese wasn't like present to be a good teacher. I don't know.
I mean, if their objective was to get Cobra Kai out of the tournament, it worked. But yeah, you're right. I don't know how much of an effect it's going to have on the Iron Dragons.
Zero.
So yeah, so is that, so Iron Dragons and Miyagi-Do obviously are in the finals, but are there other teams too? I thought it was down to four, or is it just down to two?
I feel like it's probably more, but I'm not sure.
I feel like it has to be four. I thought I heard Zara call it semifinals. Or maybe I'm off. Maybe that was before. I don't.
And they said Tournament of Champions, I think. And that feels like should be more than like just two dojos.
Yeah. But they didn't really say like how many, but I feel like it has to be more than those two. I guess we'll find out for sure.
Find out in a couple hours.
Got anything else, Rich?
Let's see here. Yeah, actually, I was going to talk about Kreese a little bit there. I kind of blew that one, huh? I was interested to hear what you're going to say. Yeah.
Anything that I didn't mention?
Already. Well, I could talk a little bit about Silver then. Let's see. His revenge. So wait, his revenge was to blow more money on dojos, right? Because he got Sensei Wolf's dojo, and then basically said, "I'll give you your dojo back if you want to. If you go to the tournament and embarrass Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai in front of the world, right?" That was his ultimate goal. Or does Daniel think, because Daniel thought he bought another dojo and wants to be the number one dojo in the world, and that's why he's doing this.
Yeah, he said, they ruined my reputation. And by the way, when he was saying to his lawyer, "They ruined my reputation," I thought, oh, he's getting a little more energetic. Come on, give me that, Terry Silver.
Let it out.
But they ruined my reputation. So if I'm going to hell, then I'm going to take them with me or something like that. So I feel like, it's a lot like what he did in Karate Kid 3. He hired Mike Barnes to humiliate Daniel in the tournament. Now it's just on a whole dojo scale, hires a whole dojo.
That seems a little backward to me, though. I mean, he's the money guy. He's a business guy, right? So why wouldn't he want to do this to bring another dojo in and become number one dojo in the world? That was his whole thing.
Yeah. They're framing this as if he's neglecting his business or hurting his business by doing that, which is kind of what he did in Karate Kid 3. He just put everything on hold.
Yeah.
Cancel all my meetings.
It didn't make much sense to me.
You're right. It doesn't make a lot of
sense. And especially after his lawyer says, "Hey, you took a pretty big financial hit, you know, with all the failed dojos. What do you say? You're lucky to still have your yacht," or something like that.
But he's got those offshore accounts.
Also, he said to Wolf, "Since you guys are the reigning champions, you already have an in to be in the Sekai Taikai." I think that's what he said. And I'm like, well, that means they're going to go anyway, and they're going to try to win. So
yeah.
Isn't that what's already going to happen? Whether you're here, I guess maybe, oh no, I guess, okay, I'm wrong. Because Wolf, it didn't really say what happened with Wolf, but he got in with the wrong people and lost the dojo. So maybe they just couldn't be financed to go to the tournament.
Couldn't afford it.
I mean,
it's probably not a cheap trip, huh?
And he said he's going to get the dojo back for him.
And pay his debts.
He did say they took the one thing left in the world that I cared about. What was that? Karate?
I thought that was his reputation.
Oh, okay. Because I thought it was being the number one dojo.
He said, "These sons of bitches ruined my reputation. They took the one thing left in the world I cared about."
So Stingray was the least credible witness of all time. So the lawyer got the case thrown out, and that's how he's out free and clear, right? We also learned that Snake is dead.
Yep. I don't know why they bothered saying that, but
I guess for those of us that want to know, the Snake is dead, huh?
Where's Snake?
Tying up loose ends.
I guess so.
Did you know that the actor playing Terry Silver's lawyer was Hayden Schlossberg?
No.
Victory. Yeah.
That's so great.
Wow.
His acting debut.
That's awesome. So it's kind of interesting that they spent all last season. Well, not all last season, but the consequences of Kreese's and Silver's actions last season have kind of been just erased. Like, it didn't really matter. You know, they both went to jail. Oh, no, they're gone. So I kind of wonder if for Silver, they had thought maybe that would be the end of his story at the time. But then it worked out to bring him back. And so they're like, and just erase it. Because it kind of makes it feel meaningless a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But whatever.
That's what they do. And then he hands Daniel the envelope at the end of the show there. Did you guys pause it and see the name on who Miyagi killed?
Mm-mm.
I saw it, but I didn't know. It didn't click with me. Should we know who that name is?
I don't know if we know who it is or if it's going to come back around, but it's said Claremont.
Hmm. I'm sure it will.
So maybe the next step is to go find the Claremont family.
So this, I kind of thought it might be something like this because when Daniel, you know, they were at the tournament in Karate Kid and Daniel's like, so what are the rules? And Miyagi's like, don't know, first time. And he goes, what? I thought you'd done stuff like this before. And he goes, fought for life, not for points. And so now we find out he was in a tournament. I'm thinking maybe he was also in it for some personal reason with his opponent, you know, because that's a theme with all of this. Mm. And maybe he thought he was fighting for his life in the tournament and ended up killing the guy, maybe accidentally, something along those lines. But that's probably why he's not a fan of tournaments, you know. He didn't want to let Daniel do the tournament in Karate Kid 3. But it sort of puts it in a new light that his solution to Daniel being bullied by Johnny in the original Karate Kid was to put them in a tournament together. He's like, Daniel, you killed Johnny in tournament. I speak from experience.
Well, I'm glad they're keeping this alive because it gives us something to look forward to in the next five episodes, right? It's like kind of a secondary plot of Miyagi, which I'm sure they'll focus on more now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm hoping anyway.
Yeah, if the next episode ties up the Sekai, then we need five more episodes, right? So we got to fill it with something.
The only thing I hope, since the showrunners have talked about wanting to do a Miyagi prequel series, that they don't leave the mystery to be solved in that.
Oh
gosh.
Right?
That would be terrible.
They might do that.
No. If you're listening, don't do that.
A prequel? Who would play Mr. Miyagi? You can't replace Pat Morita.
I know. Got to find someone really special for that.
I notice as I'm getting older, I get attached to the actors who play the parts. And then when they're replaced as the universe moves on, I'm like, no, you can't replace that guy.
Like the Star Trek reboot or stuff like that.
Yeah. Anything. Like, I'm having a hard time with Captain America.
Uh-huh. Well, did you hear Steve Rogers? What's the guy's name?
Chris Evans.
Coming back for one of the Avengers movies. Oh. We don't know in what capacity, but him and Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr.
All right, Rima, got any more?
I was just going to make a comment about Daniel having another crisis over Mr. Miyagi. And I know we got to have some drama on the show. That's what it's all about. But it's just puzzling to me that Daniel doesn't seem to understand that normally when someone is a pacifist, that it's probably because that person has experienced something that made them adopt that philosophy.
Mm. So you don't think he should be that shocked by it?
No, not that shocked. I mean, it's not like, oh, okay, yeah, cool, Mr. Miyagi killed someone. But it's like he keeps getting so shocked about Mr. Miyagi's past when it's like, you know, the way I see it, if someone like Mr. Miyagi, who is a pacifist, they've probably gotten that way for a reason. They've either been through something or, you know, they didn't usually start out that way. So clearly, you know, finding these things out that Mr. Miyagi has, you know, been been through something and participated in a tournament he didn't know anything about. And now he finds out in this episode, like, oh, his opponent died. You know, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know, wow, okay, that's something. But he's always so shaken to the core about everything he finds out when.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I guess it's the kind of thing where Miyagi's almost like he's like his father and his spiritual guru as well. So he's sort of based his whole worldview and life philosophy around teachings from this man, and then to find out that he may have killed a man. I could see that sort of being like, oh, wow, that sort of makes me question. It's like I used to be into meditation and Buddhism a little bit. And there's this one Buddhist teacher, Pema Chodron, that wrote these great books that helped me find some peace. And then her teacher was this Chinese guy, Trungpa Rinpoche. And at one point it came out that he'd been like having sex with his students and he was just not a good person, you know? And it sort of made me go, oh, wow, I've been getting a lot of peace from studying this woman who studied from this guy who is a total douche dickbag. And it did sort of make me go, huh, I don't know. Should I forget everything I learned there? But I wasn't like, oh my God. But also I didn't consider her my mother or anything. So I don't know. Anyway, just trying to explore what it might be like for him.
I think that's a case of do what I say, not as I do.
That's what all gurus do.
Right. I don't know. It's kind of like, I mean, I get it why he would, you know, uncovering this information, you know, can be a little unsettling because Mr. Miyagi didn't tell him these things. He didn't know about some of these things in his past and he kept it hidden from him. So I get that. But, you know, it's like, oh, maybe that's why Mr. Miyagi was so against me, you know, either acting out this way or why he didn't want me in tournaments. Some of the things that he said or taught me, this is why, because of these things, you know, he keeps uncovering all this information and maybe he'll get there. I don't know, but it's just like, I don't know. Again, it's, I know that there's got to be the drama associated with it and it helps, you know, kind of carry the show. It would be boring if Daniel's just like, oh, cool, you know, whatever, and didn't have a reaction.
Whatever.
Oh, interesting. Miyagi killed a guy. Originally, they were going to have it where Miyagi was a sexual predator and Daniel finds out, but changed it.
I mean, I don't know. If I had to think about it, it's probably, you know, if we do get the answers, and I hope we do, I hope, good grief, don't save it to any spinoff. So I hope if we do get the answers, I'm sure it was like by accident. It was probably a him or me kind of situation. You know, it sounds like when you hear people talking about that tournament, you know, it was a lot more aggressive. It was a lot more rough. Maybe they didn't have as many rules. You know, maybe it was more like a blood sport, you know, kind of tournament where it was, you know, very few rules. And yeah, sometimes people died. I mean, they've made that comment before and made it seem like it was a very different tournament. Maybe, you know, he was just in it fighting, but then that other person took it too far. And in defense of himself, you know, it was a tragic, you know, thing that happened. I can't really see Mr. Miyagi doing something intentionally like that. Like just
right
going after someone.
Wouldn't that be crazy? I mean, I kind of make the same assumption. It's probably self-defense, right? But you do get the impression all through the original movies that Miyagi is so good, he could just kill anybody he wants at any time.
It reminds me of the beginning of Karate Kid 2, which picked up right after the end of the first Karate Kid when Kreese was beating up the students in the parking lot. And Miyagi went over and confronted him and just kept dodging so that Kreese would punch through the car windows and bloody his hands. And then Miyagi grabbed him by the scruff of his hair with his neck exposed, kind of like Robbie did Kwan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he went, and then he goes, honk, honk. So that's, maybe they're drawing a little bit from that to like, just showing that Miyagi doesn't want to have that killer instinct anymore, but he could if he wanted to.
Gosh, so many potential stories there, huh? Maybe he just lost control and did kill him.
Yeah.
And then vowed never to do it again.
Yeah. Could be something like that. Yeah. I bet you that would be more interesting actually than if it was just like a pure accident that he let his rage take over or something like that.
We're starting to think like writers now, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Let's have Miyagi kill somebody.
Let's go on a rampage.
Kreese, stab Johnny. It's going to be awesome.
Miyagi killed his opponent and then he killed two judges.
He went crazy.
Oh, that one dude.
Berserker rage.
That Sekai Tekai guy, when he told Kreese, when he told him, he was like, you know, cut it out or you could end up getting kicked out or disqualified. And he's like, you don't want to see me angry.
Oh,
and I was
yeah,
like, oh. Huh.
Yeah, a little bit of
all
that,
all kinds
too.
Of potential right. going on here.
What, is he going to turn into the Hulk?
I don't know.
All right. My turn. I'm going to talk about funny things. I thought it was funny when Silver was in the hot tub and that Dennis guy, that bruiser guy's in there. And Silver says to Daniel, I couldn't resist introducing you to Mr. De Guzman here. And then there's a flashback of young Daniel beating the shit out of Mr. De Guzman. And then it goes in the front and he's back to the present and the guy's like ready to go again. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know if that had the effect they were going for there.
I don't think you are.
Then let's see. Johnny says, that ponytail prick is back. You got to be kidding me. What good is prison if Kreese can escape and a Silver doesn't even go? And Chosen goes, Sekai Taikai admission policy also suck.
Yeah.
Chosen gets all the good lines.
I know. He's kind of the comic relief here.
Yeah, he had a great way of summing everything up with like five-word sentences in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like when he said, team falling apart faster than crunchy taco.
I like that.
Or do you guys have any, or should I just keep going through mine?
No, yeah, I was going to say something about Chosen, but that was great.
When Tori grabbed Zara's phone and what she's doing a live streaming to her fans, Zara's real secret is she's a two-faced bitch. That was pretty good. Daniel, after they went beat against Cobra Kai, he goes, congratulations, Johnny, you finally beat Kreese. We finally beat Kreese. Well, I actually beat him in my first tournament. Johnny goes, don't make me hit you.
Yeah, that's right. Like, come on, Daniel, really?
I liked it. Sounds like something I would have said. That's all I got for that one. Got any notes, Rich? No?
No, I just had the funny lines by Chosen.
Oh, did I say them all?
Yeah, but that's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's funny.
I just kept on going. Rima, you don't have any notes?
No. Other than I did appreciate, and I know it was kind of talked about, but I do appreciate how they didn't spend the whole episode on Johnny and Daniel making up. Like, it was quick and to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was great. It was what I really liked about this episode, because like I feel like the whole theme, or one of the themes anyway, I guess, of Karate Kid is about being the underdog. And Miyagi-Do has definitely been the underdog all throughout the Sekai Taikai tournament. And everybody's been off balance and couldn't get their crap together. And to finally see everyone come together and get their crap together, the kids and the adults, and even Johnny and Daniel, they get on the same page. And it was cool to see Johnny like supporting Miyagi-Do. Like, hey, there's been a lot of talk about loyalty, but we're all here today. Like, this is who
like,
we're with today.
Most of us trained with other dojos in the past, but right now we're Miyagi-Do.
Yeah. So it was really good to see him like really embrace, you know, Miyagi-Do and support instead of like this constant, like, kind of pushing against it so much. And, you know, it really showed that great side of Daniel and his Miyagi-Do philosophy. But then also Johnny kind of staying true to his Cobra Kai, you know, side. Like, time, you know, enough of this kumbaya crap, you know, let's go kick some Cobra Kai ass, you know. There's that balance between the two of them, that there's the best part of Johnny, you know, being a mentor to the kids, but then that best part of Daniel also being the mentor to the kids. So there's just one of my favorite parts of this episode, and seeing how the underdogs really, you know, when they get their crap together, come out on top.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. I thought that was really wise of Johnny too, to say that, what he said about, you know, being part of the team right here, right now, all been trained by previous JoJo's. Cause that's what happens. You know, you go through your life and you're going to be part of several different teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yep. You have to figure out what you're doing in the moment and give that your all.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that's the best thing to do. And it's just so, I mean, they did such an expert job of sowing all this tension and discord, and then having so many of it all resolved at the same time in this episode. It's I feel manipulated, honestly, but in the best way.
Right. Like, yeah, like the characters. Is everyone just a master manipulator on the show, or are people just easily manipulated?
Right. A little bit of both. Got a bit of listener feedback. Rich, do you want to read the message?
Yeah, we have a message from Dobolino Bob Grippy. They write, the Terry Silver reveal made the entire season go from, whoa, an international tournament, to holy crap, Quicksilver is back and wants revenge against even more people. I always thought that the way he went out at the end of season 5 was unsatisfying. A la Boba Fett in Return of the Jedi. To have him in a hot tub? Perfect. Smoking a cigar? Perfect.
That's great. Nice. All right, we got a couple of calls. Here's Steve Brown.
Hello, Cobra Kai cast. This is Steve, and this is for Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 9, Blood In, Blood Out.
Oh, when we started in Bangkok. Why?
Okay, 3 months ago. That's why. I almost forgot. The return of Terry Silver. I like it. I like it a lot. And it appears that Terry Silver is doing poorly with money. Oh, and so we see that Terry and John have some bad blood between them. But who is this guy? Which dojo is he the leader of? I mean, the other guy, the one he found in Thailand. Well, I guess that's the leader of the Cobra Kais. Hey, I had to pause it because apparently Johnny and Miguel found like the fastest flight going back to Spain. Oh, and it appears that Kenny's with him too. The ponytail prick. I love it. Oh, is that the leader of the Iron Dragons? I'm so confused about which dojo is which now. So Silver's dojo is the Iron Dragons, and then Kreese is the Cobra Kai. Yep. And of course, now Johnny and Danny are back good again, right?
Yep.
The leaders of Miyagi-Do. And now Dimitri is suspect of Kenny, because obviously he's taking Devin's spot, as you all predicted. Okay, this whole tag team tournament, I'm not even going to try to comment because it's confusing. Iron Dragons and Cobra Kai won. They're part of the tournament, and now Miyagi-Do is what? Hey, it's really cool, Miguel, what you're doing here to inspire Robbie, but what did he do to get Kenny there? Apparently, the dialogue from Terry Silver earlier in the episode tells us that all the stuff with Miyagi was just a red herring? What?
Yep.
So Daniel did something to Kreese's locker. I guess he gave him the spot. And the dog cage change a man. Okay, so now Tori got distracted by Robbie and lost a point. I don't understand this tournament rules of this segment. Oh, and Miyagi-Do wins with Kenny. I love the middle finger to Silver. That's great. Oh, and so the final match is going to be Miyagi-Do versus Cobra Kai, whoever advances, right? Oh, so their Miyagi-Dos are admitting this is the last time they're going to fight together. So what's the last third of the season going to be? Oh, the family dynamic. Oh, I'm getting choked up. And we're going to the final moments. Oh,
ooh, Captain versus Captain. Sam, Tori versus Robbie. Ooh, oh, your dumbass got played. Ooh, and Tutu. Now me and it's Robbie versus Quan. Ooh, and Miyagi-Do. Robbie pulls it out and wins the end. That exchange between Johnny and Danny. Don't mean to hit you. Okay, I must have missed the significance of the dagger thing, but wow. Next episode, last one of this third, right?
We didn't really go over the rules too much, but the way this whole last thing worked was it was a tag team. You could have two, you could have one teammate in at a time from each dojo with the others around the side that could be tagged in at any time. And 3 points wins the match. So, and it was two matches out of three, basically. They said each dojo would face three opponents, but really it was two out of three. So Cobra Kai lost. They won their first one. Then they lost their second one because Tori got hit three times. And then they lost their third one to Miyagi-Do. So they lost two out of three and they were out of it. Miyagi-Do lost their first one. Then they won their second one against, I think it was the Spanish team or the Brazilian team anyway. And then they won their third one with Cobra Kai. So they won two out of three. So that was basically the rules.
Yeah. That would make sense if it's semifinal.
Yeah. All right. One more call from good old Mike Crusoe.
Hey, Jason Reamer and Richard. It's me, Mike from Cincinnati, calling again, this time with my feedback for Cobra Kai season 6, episode 9, Blood In, Blood Out. I'm not exactly sure what that title is referring to, by the way, but I think it's kind of a play on words with wax on, wax off, no? But holy shit, this was a real banger of an episode, and honestly, I felt like it could have been the mid-season finale.
Yeah.
So I'm really pumped to see what the next episode has in store for us before we finally break for part three. This episode had a lot of fighting in it. It was insanely action-packed, but I kind of want to talk about some of the non-action around the kids. They really felt like they made up really quick, like quicker than I feel like kids would in real life, which is fine. It's a show. We don't want it to linger in that bullshit, that drama for too long. We kind of just want to get on with it. But particularly, Kenny was super nice to Lee to a point that I don't know that if you shit your pants, you're going to be that forgiving of the person that made you do it. But okay.
Agreed.
And I'm happy to see the Binary Brothers are back to being the Binary Brothers, and I love Chosen's little call out right there. But man, they were kind of sparking a lot of the drama with Kenny and not trusting him. Like, it was basically just the two of them. I guess really more Dimitri, but that was a little annoying, and I was glad to see that we didn't get too much of that before they finally came around with Robbie's leadership and got to trusting Kenny, thankfully. And then the locker room scene was really great. And I feel like it part of why it was really great was because the last time we saw them in the locker room was like one of their lowest moments. They're all insanely divided. Everybody's mad at each other. Robbie's mad at himself. And then we have this moment where they really come together as a team, like more united than we've ever seen them. And it was such a feel good moment. God, I love that scene. It was a lot of fun to watch. And then the fighting was awesome. There was a lot of it and it was well choreographed. And I always think the fighting in this show is better than it really has any right to be as a originally YouTube show. That's now a Netflix only show. It was awesome, and particularly, it was really great to see Robbie get his shit together and just completely dominate Quan. Mm-hmm. I mean, Quan basically dug his own grave there, and you love to see it. All the bullshit, all the head games, all the drama, that was the fuel that Robbie was working with there at the end. And man, he just ate Quan's lunch. I loved watching it. It was awesome. Also, having Silver back in the mix, I wasn't really sure how I felt about it. I kind of felt like the other caller that you had last week who said, you know, we've already seen that story. It's already been played out. I actually agree with that opinion. But, you know, at the same time, I was open to seeing him come back because he is just such a mind game motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And he really is still that. Like, you can't you always feel like he's thinking ahead of you or ahead of Miyagi-Do. He's just one or two or three steps ahead of them. And while he's running low on money, I still imagine running low on money for him is a lot more wealth than I can imagine. So he's still got that advantage too. And Daniel, man, he was so close. Like, his weakness is his curiosity and his respect for Miyagi. And he at first he was like, no, I'm good. And I was like, yes, dude, you're getting over your weakness. But then he still took it. I guess we need him to do that and set the story into motion. But definitely interesting. I'm curious to see how Danny reconciles this and what we learn about Miyagi. But yeah, I tried to keep it a little shorter this week. I'm almost 4 minutes at this point, but I just know that you guys are going to talk about things better than I ever could in a short voicemail. So I look forward to hearing your guys' really, really insightful and smart thoughts. But I am not going to wait a week to watch this last episode. I think I'm going to go watch it right now. So I will see you guys on the flip. Stay badass.
Goes to show how good this episode was, huh?
Yeah. All right, thanks, Mike. Awesome, as usual. All right, that be our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Next episode, Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 10, Yung Jang Do, or something.
Oh, is that the knife?
Yeah.
Yeah, that blade.
Oh, crap. Well, there you go.
Right?
That's the title of the episode.
Yung Jang Do to the gut.
Shite. If you want to write in or send us a voice message about it, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, please check out our other podcasts.
Yeah, there's a couple. Star Wars TV Cast is starting to cover Star Wars Skeleton Crew, that new series that's getting some good buzz. It's, I hear, Goonies in space. But good.
Oh, is that right? There's kids in it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
By here, it's good. I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. And also, I saw that Ben published an episode of the Revisited podcast. That podcast, Ben and Kristen covered all of Lost a while back because they go back and look at shows that have already aired. And now he interviewed the director, I think, of this new Getting Lost documentary that's coming out, where they talk to all the actors and stuff and do a big retrospective. So I thought it was pretty cool that Ben got to talk to that guy. I'm looking forward to listening to his episode.
Yeah,
you're a Lost fan.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. That is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Who are we?
Cobra Kai Cast.
Who are we?
Cobra Kai Cast.
Who are we?
Cobra Kai Cast.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.